Imbalance IT Solutions provides a unique consulting approach to transform your organization's data, cybersecurity, and hybrid cloud environments. We would like to welcome you to our podcast series we call The Balancing Act, discussing complex digital transformation. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show.
Hello, listeners out there. This is Ryan O'Halloran, VP of Security Strategy here at Imbalance IT, bringing you episode 2 of the Balancing Act podcast series. Today, we're going to be discussing the state of the virtual CISO. I have here with me special guest, David Primore. David is the founder and CEO of Cynomi, which is the world's first AI-driven vCISO platform, the leading platform used by cybersecurity leaders to manage strategy and compliance. David, good morning, man. Thank you for joining me. How are you doing today?
Hi, good morning, Ryan. Yeah, it's nice to see you again.
You as well, you know, and I'd like to actually start out with that. I had the opportunity to sit down with you a couple of weeks ago and hear your story. And I was really fascinated by both your industry background and then how that led itself to the foundation of your company. Could we start by maybe having you share a few highlights about your own story and how it led to Cynomi?
Yeah, sure. So my background is the intelligence in Israel. So I've been there about 15 years in the cyber intelligence after my studying as an electrical engineer. I've been there about 15 years working with engineers and intelligence guys about cyber, but not cyber protection, as you could imagine. I did a break, small break of about 3 years during this period, went to flew to Switzerland doing my PhD in signal processing at CERN, the big particle accelerator. They have huge computer, they have to protect it. But this is a different, completely different story about cyber protection for this big public monster. Then I went back to Israel, had the opportunity to be a part of the team that established the Cybersecurity Authority in Israel under Prime Minister office. And I led the technology, building the national cert and helping the Israeli as a nation to handle cyber attacks from all over the world. And I remember the WannaCry attack on Israel, on the US and the UK.
WannaCry, yep.
Yeah, yeah. WannaCry, maybe want to cry. I think that this is the first time I realized that there is a big problem, huge gap in cybersecurity for small and medium businesses, and not only for them. And I decided that I want to help the industry to be more protected.
Yeah, that's awesome. And one of the things that led out of that is the rise of a leader that is affordable and credible for that small and medium business. And they call that a vCISO, which is a virtual CISO, right? It's I perform this work my very self, and I also have been very passionate about the mission of doing things right, and preparing for the future. I think what's probably good for the listeners is just a quick definition, you know, of what a vCISO can offer for a business. So in my mind, right, we measure and manage risk. We align security policy with business values and objectives, right? We safeguard critical systems and data, which obviously is well known, right? Securing emerging technologies, which right now there's an explosion in cloud services, AI, all these other new things, right? That's extremely important. And then, of course, maintaining compliance and sharing awareness around security. So that could be incident response procedures and testing, right? Helping people protect themselves from phishing, things like that. And as you can imagine, in that profession, listeners, there is a lot to do. So one of the things we talk about a lot, you know, on the note of AI, which is around every corner when we're talking about it, is the fear of AI, the cybersecurity issues with AI. But by the same token, obviously, we're taking on this challenge because there's a lot of benefits to AI, more benefits than probably the risk, right? As long as we are responsible. Tell me, how do you think artificial intelligence, because, you know, that is a key piece of your platform and one of the things that led me to using it, right? How does it actually help organizations operationalize cybersecurity?
Yeah, I think that AI provides us unique tools and actually make a huge revolution in our world. And the main concept of AI is to enable you to do much more with much less. And we understand, and Sainomi vision is that every company needs a CISO. Every company needs to understand how to protect it, itself and be able to understand the risks, to understand all the tasks that they have to do, to prioritize it, because you have hundreds of tasks that you have to do.
There's a lot to do.
A lot to do. And there is a need for a talent that understand what are the risks and help each company to understand what they should do. And the fact that this is, you need an expertise and you need so much to do and you have to prioritize, it's a difficult problem. Difficult problem that difficult to be solved by, let's say, not a very experienced CISOs. And we understand that there is a lack of talent, not many experienced CISOs out there. And if you find one, probably go to a big Fortune 500. And then lots of SMBs, mid-market companies, even small enterprise, they need CISOs as well. So the question is how to take technology and AI and utilize it in order to be able to provide things fast and accurate. So how to understand all the risks, how to ask the right questions, how to make the right decisions, how to make to take all many parameters, take them into account and get to into a conclusion fast and accurate. And I think this is what technology can offer you. This is what AI can offer. And Sainomi uses that. So we are trying to get all the information we can. It's always, you can get more and more information by asking more questions and getting more data. But you have limited time. So you should take whatever you have and then take it, understand what is the unique posture and to understand what is the thing that fits your special organization, because every organization is different from others. And take all parameters and create something that's specific for you. And this is the power of AI to enable you as a professional or as a junior professional, whatever, to use technology and to give you the effect as a great CISO. And you could take, for example, the way that you use ChatGPT for creating a great email. So you have to understand what you want to write. You have to understand the content, but the Gen AI creates something special for you or professional for you. And this is how we use AI for that.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's like you're getting a suit jacket that isn't tailored. The sleeves are like this long, right? AI has got to get that sleeve just right based on the regulations that I have, the core values, right, in my business, how transparent, right? And I think one of the biggest things over the past couple of years is just having a trust mark that is clear to your partners, right? I think people are starting to wake up also with supply chain and some of these other aspects that are working their way into compliance and realize I can't just get my own house in order and I still have a lot to do in that. I need to secure my neighborhood. Yeah. For myself to be secure, we need to be secure, right? Mm-hmm. And I just find that fascinating. And I can see that sort of the flavor of that being injected in a variety of the frameworks that are coming out, right? This past year, we've seen many progressive cybersecurity frameworks, right? We've had the NIST CSF 2.0. First update for that's come out in forever. One of the biggest differences there is the introduction of governance, right? Yeah. Bolding and underscoring. We have a problem measuring risk and communicating it. We need to establish a language, Mr. CEO, and then that way I can take your sentiments and make sure I'm doing what you're asking me to do. Then we have things like NIS2, which I think is amazing, right? So for those not familiar, the European Union as a whole, as a collective, unlike the United States, right, at a national level, has been very progressive around privacy laws and protections. And then now with NIS2, there's a cybersecurity standard nationally, regardless of vertical, right, which is amazing. That's an amazing directive, and that's the right thing to do. And then lastly, you know, I look at the U.S., right, and we're only just now, through things like the CMMC, certifying and validating the posture of our DoD contractors, much less, you know, our other businesses, right? What do you think this means for organizations in the future? It's clear that this is not going to stop and we're all going to have to tighten up. It's just a matter of when. Do you think that in the US we'll get to the point where we have that blanket umbrella framework that says, hey, I'm a retail store and I'm a level zero of CMMC, and hey, I have top secret defense information, I'm a level three. Do you think that we're going to get that direction, or do you think we'll remain leaving it to the states and managing kind of this confusing stack of state laws mixed with federal, mixed with insurance?
You know, it's interesting question. And actually, in Synomi, with Synomi, we see it every day because we are handling lots of MSPs, MSSPs, and we have a partner portal in which MSPs could ask us, please help us with this framework. Please help us with that framework. And we see so many frameworks out there. And we see that, and we in Synomi, we have to support that. So we have every quarter two, three additional frameworks. For example, now we are talking about 853. And I said, who the hell wants 853? Because it's for top secret DoD. But now CGS for municipalities that have police departments has to do that. So all municipalities need to have to be secured. And we're going to finance sector, and we have so many compliances there. And for the manufacturing, education. So we see every vertical gets its own presence from the regulator. And if it's not from the regulator, it's different institutes like the NIST or CIS that offer new frameworks, and companies start to follow, and insurance companies start to require you to be compliant to some frameworks. And the states, I heard that the state of Florida wants you to be compliant to any framework, or et cetera, et cetera. So I guess it just...
Right, the tri-state area, they've been like a hub for pushing down to the rest of the states. Very financially driven. I feel like that's one area. You know, and it's fascinating because one of the things that I've seen very much in the U.S., and this is the... I get the question, well, we're not regulated yet as much as XYZ industry. However, again, we got to secure the neighborhood, right? So in the U.S., what I see is compliance being taken in the own hands of business partners through contracts, not even insurance, just through contracts, saying, I demand that you adopt this framework and that framework. Cool. And, you know, for the audience, a cybersecurity framework, and there's many of them for different businesses that protect different types of information. It's essentially a blueprint at a high level that shows you the capabilities that you have, the gaps that you have in your framework. What it doesn't tell you is how to do it, right? And that's the tailoring piece and the CISO piece, where we got to get that human context, right, and all of those pieces to be able to kind of get that in there. It's just when I think about that, do you think, as I do, that businesses don't have as much time as they think?
Yeah, for sure. Businesses don't have much time for their own business. So for cyber, I see so many companies that want that somebody else would take care of that. And I guess that now when we have so many attacks, so many requirements from businesses and insurance and regulations, every company needs an expert, a CISO expert. or a virtual CISO expert. So if you cannot afford it in-house, and many cannot afford it because it's expensive, because the lack of people, they need MSPs, MSSPs, cyber consultancies to help them and to provide them a help, strategic help, what we call virtual CISO help. I certainly see it.
Yeah. No, I couldn't agree more. And what's interesting, and I want to repeat this for the listeners, all businesses need, not a nice to have, a cybersecurity leader to give you a North Star and point you down a path at the very least. You know, it may not take as long to keep it that way if you're a simpler business, which is a good thing, right? But getting ahead of this and being prepared versus trying to put this together quickly is so important. I've had this conversation a lot where if you have never had an assessment that benchmarks you against this framework, like a compliance standard ever, or if you haven't had one recently against one of the new frameworks, that is something that you should do as soon as possible, right? So that you at least have awareness of what's going on there. I think that there's a lot of those gaps that are administrative and not technical and are not well, you know, well understood. And I think it's just as important too that we follow frameworks like this so that, right, vCISOs, as you said, right, they're few and far between. There's probably one for every 10 of them we need, right? And one of the concerns I think businesses have is, okay, if I get this one guy and he builds my program and he leaves, do I lose that? Do I lose that program, right? And one of the things I want to point out there for listeners that aren't as familiar with this is you don't, you know? You can, you know, when it comes to reusing those materials, right, reusing those artifacts, the framework is a Swiss Army knife. So the next leader that you pick up will understand the language of your program and be able to quantify your program all the same. So if you're not doing it because you're concerned that an individual professional, I mean, don't get me wrong, the person should be capable, the person should be experienced. You should check that out, obviously, if you're using something for so serious. But being more open, I think, to the concern of liability, right, around the vCISO, I think is important because you don't want to miss out on the strategy and the perspective, right, of somebody else. Yet at the same time, there's a concern on that liability, right? What if he leaves? What if they can't replace it? You know, some MSPs only have one or two. What are your thoughts on that? Would you agree that us continuing to search kind of for this common platform is going to be increasingly important to build confidence, I guess, that we're all on the same page with this? You know, like, what are your thoughts in that regard? Because I hear this a lot.
I think at least two aspects of that. One, I think that you should create, the cyber consultancy should create a transparency with the customer, with the company, to understand where they stand, what they do, how to better explain to the company what are the different cyber domains and how to be protected from each of one of them. And when you create this transparency and understanding on both sides, I think it's easier for the company to understand what are the cybersecurity measures that are doing done with by the virtual CISO. Then the second aspect of transparency is following some kind of structure way to measure cybersecurity. And the frameworks out there, and it doesn't matter if it's the NIST 2.0 that you mentioned, or the CIS, or other measures that or frameworks that the virtual CISO decide to follow. And I guess that there are different frameworks for different companies. So one company could follow this framework for education and other should follow other framework for finance. But if you understand what is the framework that you follow, it's very easy, together with the transparency, how you use this framework, to to have this resilience to the actual person that doing this assessment or helping you to follow the program.
Yeah, I agree. Having cybersecurity controls and being able to demonstrate them are two very different things, you know? So sometimes the before and after can be, hey, I have IT or a managed service provider, but I have nothing to prove my posture to you. I can ask them for some reports to, yes, we follow the cybersecurity framework. Here's our most recent assessments and the policies and procedures and evidence, right? That's the due care I think we all need to be responsible enough to show that we're trying, right? That we're not being negligent. We are working on it, you know? Agreed?
Yeah, absolutely.
Very cool. When it comes to, you know, these frameworks, and I think, you know, another thing to take a step back, because a lot of listeners are confused what framework to follow, and that's why you get, you know, CISO. I think it's also important to not be so intimidated by which one you're using, because I think a lot of folks don't realize that they crosswalk to each other. There's a lot of similarities. They may be worded differently. You know, the auditor may interpret the questions or the evidence a little bit differently, but fundamentally, the right things to do are relatively similar with a few odds and ends, depending on what you're doing, you know? So what would you say to people out there that are like, this is just, you know, this is just too complicated?
Yeah, I'm trying to find a similarity to project management. And when people ask me, okay, which project management software or methodology to follow? Is it waterfall? Is it
agile?
Agile, Jira, Confluence, I don't know. And I said, just pick one. Pick one, follow it, implement it, and you will be 80% doing the right thing. And I think that it's true for compliance or cybersecurity framework as well. Pick one. It's important to pick the right one, but not so important. It's more important that you take...
Get started.
Yeah, get started. It all makes sense. All have different mapping. You should pick the ones that maybe fits for you the most, but it really doesn't matter. Pick the NIST, pick the CIS, pick both, take the best out of both of them. You will not, at least for the beginning of the journey, it will be very similar. Maybe when you get very mature, then you want to make sure that you're 100% protected from all the things that could happen to your vertical. You should pick the one that's most suitable for you, and maybe to take several frameworks and to be able to be compliant to several of them. But I guess most of the companies are only in the starting journey of cybersecurity and compliance. So just pick.
Yep, I agree 100%, you know, and on that note, whichever one you pick, right, if you're not familiar with these frameworks, there's certain elements of those frameworks, again, going back to that administrative comment I made earlier, that really surprise people. So when they get a score that's lower than they expected, there's a few capabilities that I notice over and over and over again. It's not that they're immature, they're non-existent. And to me, those things are quantifying risk, right? Meeting with the CEO, writing down the risk, and then writing down the compensating control for that risk with a dollar amount associated with it and saying, are we doing enough, right? That in itself, just having a risk register, has never been written down in a lot of businesses, even though there's CEOs that have owned the business forever, right? There's no, and I've seen things like that occur, you know, and then supply chain risk management. I think that's the other big one, right? Is how do I even get started with this? I have 100 vendors. How do I pick the most important ones? What's the level of rigor to, you know, should I send them questionnaires? Should it be 100 questions, 50 questions, right? Should I buy a tool? So there's all sorts of stuff there. And those areas really need a foundation to even get started in a lot of cases, just get educated on the very nature of what that process looks like. Would you agree with that? Those are probably the weakest areas. I mean, that's at least what I've seen, and that also it's extremely important, obviously, to get that done, because in my mind, we should have started there.
I absolutely agree. And I guess that I would add another domain of the business continuity plan. And
yes.
You know, just before visiting you last week, I've been in Cleveland, and there was a tornado, and I was in a hotel with no electricity. And I was amazed because they had business continuity plan implemented. So they had a big box of lots of flashlights. They had all the lists of all guests written down. And they have some people that takes you out to your room, even though there is no electricity and you have to open the room with some kind of special key. So they were prepared to one of the most critical thing that could happen to you, no electricity. And I guess that if you make, let's say, imagine your business without electricity, or maybe without the main server, and maybe with a ransomware, or the fact that you get a letter from the regulator saying, we found that you're not following us, you might be sued. So let's make this imagination and play, and let's see what we are going to do. And when you think about, wow, I have those risks, I have to be prepared. And if some of these risks will happen, I want to make sure that the business will exist. So this is, I think, the point where you imagine that. You're starting to write, yeah, I should write all the risks. I should be prepared, because things like CrowdStrike might happen.
You read my mind. How many people had a risk register that said, I need a backup antivirus when it crashes my production and there is no cyber threat? Nobody, but it might be on a couple now. And you said something so important, and I think it's that we have the conversations about what is the question? What questions do we need to ask? If my supplier, no matter how resilient they are, were unavailable, and I'm losing money due to the loss of their availability, there could be more risk there if we're thinking about financial loss than any type of cyber attack, right? And then maybe I'm in a business that uses a very specific, type of a vendor, and maybe there's not a lot of options. Do you want to be stuck signing up with that vendor and going through an onboarding process if this other vendor's offline for a month? You know, has that been considered? You know, all of these things, those questions just don't get asked until you sit down and ideate, right? You got to sit down and find the right questions and the most important questions. And to me, that's extremely valuable, right? Because you're always going to find something. And as you can see, we're becoming aware of new risks all the time. AI, right? 2 years ago, wasn't a lot of AI policies and on risk registers. Now I'm writing AI policies, right? They're on the risks. How often do they hallucinate, right? We're looking for inputs for this stuff because it's all so new. There's a lot going on. And to me, I think that discussion around how comfortable you are with your own risk appetite, and then also that of your third parties, right? Is that, to me, that's why the NIST cybersecurity framework highlighted governance. That's why they added a new category, is because that is the heart. That is the beat of the drum, which all others march by, right? And so we got to get that done. So one of the things I'm encouraging customers, just explore that a little bit, right? Because they think they're going to go down a rabbit hole and waste a bunch of time. The reality is there's frameworks to arrive at good, high quality risk management. And to measure something versus complete guess is going to be more accurate, always, right? So it's an interesting challenge, isn't it, right now? What would you say to those that haven't been out there, exploring kind of the CISO space? You know, is there a way they can get started to find good partners? You know, how do they go about finding the right one? What type of criteria, you know, does a CISO consultant need in your mind to kind of pass the litmus test? You know, because there's a lot. There's named consultants that are out on their own. There's companies that have all sorts of consultants. So just kind of curious your thought on that. You know, what should you look for to show that there's enough maturity that you're really getting what you're asking, and then that becomes your property regardless of that person?
Yeah, so I guess that you must be sure as a company that you are going to take the service for someone professional, because since we understand that this virtual CISO is a trend, many MSPs would like to offer this. And you should have a very intelligent conversation with that company and understand first that they have the experience. The one that's helping you has the certification. There are many types of certifications, but he knows what he's doing. They have, you don't want to be the first one to get the service. So you must understand that.
The first vCISO client of all time. Yeah. You know, you hit on something, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. You hit on something really important there too, I think. It's not whether they have a platform or work for a company. It's have they driven business outcomes and had success? Have they had measurable successes? You know, so for me, somebody asks, well, how do you know your framework implementation works? Well, it stood up to a SOC 2 audit. It was defensible, right? So that means that clearly, it was effective. Measuring the framework, it's effective, right? But unless you have someone that can break this language barrier, and it's an education and a language barrier, I think, more than anything else, educating all that cybersecurity comes with, having a common language so that we're not meaning different things and not getting anywhere, right? Those are, I think, the most important aspects, and obviously having years of experience, you know, and things like that. But would you agree that's really what you should be asking is, you know, what did you do for other companies? How have you transformed them? How did you bring them to SOC 2? You know, how did you get them more contracts because their partners started to trust them, right? What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, so I think that you must understand that they are using some kind of methodology. It's better that they have some kind of platform like Synomi or others, but they know what they are doing. They have processes, they have tools, they have proven success. I think it's extremely important. Look at their websites. See that they are providing those services with other services for many years. We are in Synomi, we created a virtual CISO directory. Look there if they are there. So I guess it's like picking any other professional person. Like you are, you need some fixing in your house. You will try to understand whether this person is knows what he's doing. He did it in the past. Maybe you could speak with some of his customers and see that they are they say good things about them. So to use referrals to do that, because it's important. Cybersecurity is critical. So if you take somebody who is not professional to measure your risks, maybe he'll take wrong risks, give you you will spend money which is not cost effective to your business. So it's expensive, and you should invest in the right person to make it cost efficient, and take this expense and put it and to use it for the right resources.
David, I know we're at time, man. I really appreciate the conversation. It's excellent. I enjoy talking to you. And I'd like to say, you know, Inbalance IT, of course, is in the vCISO directory. We're proud to be a partner with your organization. And I know it's helped me automate a lot of my tasks. Just to be honest, right, there's a lot of questions out there, like, how do you use AI in your daily life? And one of the things I'd like to say to you about your platform is that usually is my answer. I used to do a lot of manual tasks to help customers with cybersecurity, and now I can get them there quicker. and more consistently, and help grow a community of professionals that can do these same things for companies because they need it so badly. So just wanted to say thank you for that, and let the audience out there know that Imbalance IT and Synomi are here to help if you need somebody to work with you and drive these types of outcomes and get you to the light.
Yeah.
Right. All right. So thank you so much, David. I appreciate you and have a great day.
Thank you, Ryan.
Imbalance IT Solutions wants to thank you for listening and invite you to join us for the next episode in our podcast series. Remember, Imbalance IT Solutions can help you transform your business's technology, and we welcome you to reach out to us for more information on our website at imbalanceit.com. See you on the next one.